Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In today's sermon, we'll be considering the implications of Jesus' ascension for us, focusing on our first reading from Acts chapter 1. And I'll reread some of the verses now. Then the disciples gathered around Jesus and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. During District Pastors' Conference and Synod last week, we had a number of sessions on the mission situation in the Lutheran Church of Australia. This included challenges faced by congregations and the ever-decreasing membership and numbers of pastors available for call. Perhaps because of those discussions last week, when I prepared this sermon, my eyes were drawn to the question by the disciples to Jesus, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" I imagine many of us ask Jesus a similar question on a regular basis. "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the Lutheran Church of Australia?" Both of those questions are quite reasonable, given that Jesus obviously has the power to do so. Only 40 days before the ascension, Jesus rose from the dead. So he has the power to resurrect other things too, whether they be people, the church, or even nations. But in the case of our reading, what did Jesus do? He essentially told the disciples to mind their own business. "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority." And then, even worse, Jesus left them. He ascends to heaven. Not only does Jesus refuse to answer the disciples' question, but he apparently leaves them without his comforting presence while they wait for the kingdom to be restored. This then doesn't bode well for our own question, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the LCA?" Most of us here have been members of the LCA for a long time, and it's only human to ask Jesus, "Lord, we've been faithfully serving you for years. Won't you allow us to see the fruits of our labours? Won't you allow us to see a response to the mission work we've already done? Won't you answer our prayers to see this church full again?" Indeed, it seems that Jesus not only ignores such questions, but he won't even give a time or date in the future for us to look forward to. Instead, we are left watching Christianity in Australia decline steadily, and our church with it, without any idea of whether it will recover. We are left praying for our children or grandchildren who have left the church without any indication that they may return. We're left watching the number of pastoral students going to ALC shrink while the number of pastoral retirees grows. And so we are left like the disciples, metaphorically looking at the sky, wondering what on earth just happened. Now, it's true that Jesus doesn't give us a time and a date when he will restore the LCA, nor does he promise that he will. But that doesn't mean that he is ignoring us or that he has abandoned his church. What Jesus does give us through his ascension is a glimpse of our situation from God's perspective. As much as we love the LCA and God has done good things through her, the LCA is not the whole sum of God's church. His true church, the body of Christ, extends across countries and cultures and continents. And what defines the universal church is not the size of its membership or the number of its pastors or its past successes, however you measure those, but a common future and a common purpose. As the two men dressed in white reminded the disciples when they stood gawking at the sky, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." It was as if Jesus, through his angelic messengers, was saying to the disciples, "Come on, people, no time to waste, no time to be sad, no time to be stuck in the past. I won't tell you when I'll be back, but I will be back. And remember that when I do return, I will restore the kingdom. I will restore my church. Then I will gather up all my disciples to live with me forever. But only those who are ready for my return will join me. So no time to waste. No time to twiddle your thumbs or bemoan the fact that I haven't given you a timeline. You have a mission." And that mission is described by Jesus in the parallel accounts of the ascension from Luke 24. Jesus said to the disciples, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." Our mission is the same mission given to the original disciples. We are witnesses to everything Jesus has done and will do. Regardless of what happens in our society and our church, we are to share the good news of Jesus contained in the scriptures, particularly the good news that because of what Jesus has done, those who repent will receive forgiveness for their sins and eternal life with him when he returns. At this point, you might be thinking, as the first Christians must have done when they heard Jesus' commission, "How on earth do we do that? How can we be Jesus' witnesses to the ends of the earth when Jesus is no longer with us to guide and encourage us?" That would indeed be a valid concern if it weren't for a promise Jesus made to his disciples before he left them. Going back to our reading from Acts chapter 1, Jesus said, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Jesus' commands to Christians are impossible to fulfill by ourselves until we realize that we're not by ourselves. The ascension is not about Jesus leaving us, but about Jesus coming to us in a special way to continue the mission he started while living on earth. While it's true that we can no longer see Jesus, he is nonetheless present with us through the Holy Spirit and through his word and the sacraments. Because Jesus has ascended, he is now able to be personally present with all his disciples throughout all time and space, not just with the blessed few who witnessed his death and resurrection. It's for this reason that Paul can write such a joyful and encouraging letter to the Ephesians. Reading Ephesians 1 from verse 18. "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come." What's more, in verse 22, And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. Jesus ascended for the church. Through his ascension, Jesus has not abandoned us, but he is actively reigning for our benefit. Admittedly, from our limited earthly perspective, it all looks pretty hopeless. All the trends in the LCA are downwards: membership, pastors, and finances. But we don't just have an earthly perspective. Through the scriptures, we have a heavenly perspective. And from God's perspective, the head of the church sits far above all rule and authority, power and dominion. And because Jesus is reigning, we can relax. We can leave the future of the church in his capable hands and focus on our calling. We can focus on witnessing to God's goodness and to the fact that the future of all who trust in him is secure. And as a brief aside, if you need practical help in your witnessing, the district is planning some workshops later in the year and will provide more info when it becomes available. Before I finish, I want to point out that the application of Jesus' words to his disciples goes beyond just the future of the church. The comfort and the confidence the ascension brings applies to your individual lives as well. Your question to Jesus at this time might not be, "Lord, are you going to restore the LCA?" but, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore me? Are you going to heal me from this long-term illness or free me from that recurring sin? Lord, are you at this time going to restore that relationship? Are you going to reconcile that loved one to me or bring the straying sheep back into the fold?" Maybe you're even asking, "Lord, are you at this time going to take me home? Are you going to finally free me from the burdens of this life and bless me with your everlasting presence?" Jesus' answer to those questions is likely the same as before. "It's not for you to know the times and the dates. Not because I want to mess you about, but because you don't need to know. I've got everything under control. Trust me and trust the Father's perfect timing." And remember, while Jesus says it is not for you to know the times, he also adds, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. At your baptism, you receive the Holy Spirit to give you the power to live your life as a child of God. He helps you to trust that God knows what's best for you and to wait patiently for him to bring about your restoration in this life or in eternity. And as you put your trust in him, you are fulfilling part of your commission. You are witnessing to those around you that Jesus is your Lord and that he reigns in your life. The message of the ascension is that Jesus is not absent, but is present with you. So don't worry about the future, whether it's your future or the future of the church that you're worrying about. Instead, attend to your mission. Continue to witness to Jesus and his goodness in the midst of your health struggles or your relationship difficulties or in your desire to go to a better place. What's more, do so in the power of the Holy Spirit you have already received. He will encourage you in your mission. He will help you to be patient and to persevere until Jesus returns to take you home. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.